Welcome to this exclusive AAT podcast. My name is John Calladine, and this is another in the What You Need series, this time covering independent examinations. Originally, independent examinations were introduced by the Charities Act 1993. Though this remains the primary legislation, it has been supplemented by the 2006 Charities Act, with thresholds and reporting dates ever-changing over the last 2/3 years. What is an independent examination then? It is certainly not an audit, and really is a much lighter form of examination on the financial and accounting affairs of a charity. When signing off an audit report, the auditor is stating that the figures give a true and fair view. Well, this is not the case with an independent examiner. If you look at the independent examiner's report, you will see that it is more of a negative assurance in that the examiner is saying that nothing has come to his attention which needs to be reported. He is stating that the accounting records are in accordance with the various acts, that the accounts prepared are in accordance with those records and comply with legislation, and that the examiner has followed the procedures as directed by the Charity Commission, and that nothing has come to his stroke her attention which needs to be reported. Prior to the 2006 Charities Act, independent examinations only applied to unincorporated charities, but now they apply to all charities, unincorporated and incorporated, and will also apply to the newly established Charitable Incorporated Organisation, CIO for short. These are due to be with us in the spring of 2010, so be mindful to keep an eye for this on the Charity Commission website. A charity is subject to an independent examination if its income is over the threshold of £25,000 per annum. This applies to all accounting periods ending on or after 1st of April 2009. Prior to that date, the figure was £10,000 per annum. If you consider that over 90% of all charities have an income below £500,000, then the predominating reporting requirement in the charitable sector is now independent examination. Interestingly, there are a significant number of registered charities who have income of less than £25,000 per annum. So these will be taken out of the reporting sector on or after 1st of April 2009. Particular care is needed when the gross assets of a charity are in excess of £3.26 million. If that is the case and the gross income of the charity is over £250,000 per annum, then an audit is required, even if the income is below £500,000. The figure for gross assets is obviously taken from the balance sheet, and many of the figures will be cost values in relation to fixed assets. However, if the charity has a policy to revalue assets each year, then this could cause particular problems if the threshold is breached. An independent examiner does not need an accounting qualification if the total income of the charity is below £250,000 per annum. However, the examiner will need to have the appropriate experience in dealing with charity accounts and an understanding of what is required for an independent examination. An examiner is always an individual, not a firm, and a certificate is signed in the name of the individual. If the income of the charity is above £250,000 per annum, then the independent examination has to be carried out by a qualified accountant, which includes AAT members. The various threshold levels are quite confusing. And do not forget that an independent examination is required of a charity, whether it prepares a receipts and payments account, or whether it is preparing full accrual accounts. Care is needed here, as the threshold for accrual accounting has been raised to an income level of £250,000 per annum. Again, this applies for accounting periods ending on or after 1st of April 2009. Therefore, this does allow many smaller, unincorporated charities with income below £250,000 to prepare a receipts and payments account only. Be careful if you are dealing with a company charity, as under the Companies Act 2006, accrual accounts are always mandatory. Who would be an accountant? And certainly you would need to hold your professional indemnity policy in one hand when considering what is required of a charity in the modern era. you will be pleased to note that the government are considering a new Consolidated Charities Act, which has been planned for 2010. But of course, this may well be lost with the forthcoming general election. As I said, an independent examination is not an audit, but the Charity Commission does, in its booklet CC32, list the 10 directions an examiner should follow. This constitutes a good outline of a work programme, and that linked with a good compliance checklist should be sufficient to get you started on an independent examination. Most certainly, a good read of the Charity Commission website is recommended. There are many useful downloads available, and the highly recommended Charity Commission publication CC31 relating to trustees is a good read. There is also the new statutory duty to report to the Charity Commission areas of concern, and I'll make much more reference to this in future podcasts, and we'll cover this in more depth in a master course. Incidentally, there is a master course on the 26th of June 2010 on the subject of independent examinations, and I'm sure you can obtain full details of this from the AAT website. Thank you for listening to this AAT podcast.